These are a few of the scriptures and thoughts which I believe the Lord has put on my heart this year. Beginning with this song based on Psalm 56:3. You may sing along if you know it. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God whose word I praise. In God I trust when I am afraid. In God I trust. In God whose word I praise. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God whose word I praise. I share these first two verses for anyone who may feel that their needs, their struggles, or their wounds might be overlooked by God. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me.
Amen.
That's from Genesis 16:13. And another one, Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:6. From Proverbs 22:6, God teaches us that if we train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. The person described in this verse is a result of their training or their formative experiences. To a large extent, we are all a product of our past experiences, of our history of learning, stumbling, discouragements, or battles, of victories and setbacks of the journey. When I respond to you, I'm responding with everything in my history, not only to you, but also to everything in my past that was triggered in my mind by the present situation. When someone does something I'm tempted to condemn, I can remember how I haven't always been the person I am today, how I have trying days, days of struggle, and how if Christ delays His return and I am still alive, then I can expect my body and mind to continue wearing old and to continue breaking down. When I see someone who seems to have erred, I can say like John Bradford, who was burned at the stake, there, but for the grace of God, go I. In many cases, I may be able to say, I've done that. It isn't about overlooking sin. It is about grace and meekness and compassion.
Amen.
One of my children came to me one evening to report how badly someone had been treating them, someone else's child. Rather than asking a wise question like, were you doing that to them too? I contacted the other child's father to see if we could work this out. So it wasn't until the next morning that I came close to what I figure was the whole story. But I could have avoided a little stress by responding more slowly and by asking some more questions first, by being more circumspect. From Zechariah 7:10, Jesus teaches me, Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. In Numbers 12, we learn that Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. When false accusers rose up against Moses, God heard it and himself defended Moses. Moses responded by praying that God would heal his accuser. Isaiah 53:7, He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus leads the way again, doesn't he? This is a challenging example for me. Jesus again, through Paul in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1, directs me and all of us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Adam Clark here defines meekness as the opposite of irritability of disposition. Adam Clark also describes long-suffering as never permitting a trial or provocation to get to the end of one's patience. Later in Ephesians 4, we're told in verse 27 to not give place to the devil. Adam Clark reminds us that our adversary or enemy, the devil, will strive to influence our minds and irritate our spirit. Finally, in verses 31 and 32, Paul writes, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Say, I've done that. Colossians 3:13-15. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. From Psalm 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and may have to help me here. Few things. No, that's not it. Only big things. Nothing. Nothing shall offend them. Which of us wants great peace? So there's a hand. Same here. Do you love God's rules and commandments? There it is, no but doubt about it. Going back to the situation where it seemed someone had mistreated someone I love, although I love the other person as well, and remembering the same situation can also occur among people all living in the same house. When I believe someone I love has been mistreated, then I feel attacked myself. But I needed to be quiet and slow down and give wisdom time to speak. Proverbs has much to teach us about this. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 17:28, he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs 18:17 says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. But James seems to complete the thought. In James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Remember Job's friends, who in Job 2:13 sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him for that time? Which of us could do that? In Job 32:7, Elihu says, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. The meaning of this statement is made clear by the events beginning in John 8:7. In John 8:7, Jesus said, in reference to the woman caught in adultery, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Please pay careful attention to this. In verse 9, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least, to the last. The older ones were the first to identify that there was no one without sin among them, certainly not himself. Yet in minutes, young and old alike had recognized their own failings, demonstrated by their responses to this woman's situation. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let us be looking for that way to escape a temptation. Matthew 18:21-35. Then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Doesn't that sound familiar? And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Mark 11:25-26. Forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. James 4:17. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But to whom does this apply? Let everyone point to themselves and say that verse again with me. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have a common enemy, Satan, the accuser of our brethren. All of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. From 1 Peter 5. When people ask me if I'm Amish or what, I don't know if they come up to you that way, but I've had that, and I respond by telling them we emphasize reading the Bible literally and applying it first to ourselves by working to obey God's commandments, like the Sunday sermon. That's exactly where I'm persuaded the world needs to begin, and where I and each one of us needs to begin anew every day. I continue by explaining how I've been in churches where they would say that's what they believe too, but then they proceed to discount parts of God's moral law, saying something like, well, this doesn't apply to us, and God doesn't mean it quite the way it sounds. And here's why I give that answer. From 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain, that ye may win. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. From Psalm 147, the Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. I thank God for the opportunities he brings to share with people from God's Word. For the woman who was appalled to think of herself as a devil worshiper for displaying satanic decorations in October. For the hairdressers at my apartment door to whom I was given the privileged opportunity, face-to-face opportunity to explain why their poster was immodest and thus offensive to God. For the opportunity to explain to a teacher how he's living in a way that displeases God. For the off-duty policeman who approached me and how God revealed to him his need that he was struggling with pride. I thank God for the man who didn't think I should be putting gospel tracts on cars, so I felt threatened and concerned that he and his friends would be waiting to beat me when I came out of the store. And I thank God for the opportunities to share his word and for the honor of facing opposition in that. Amen. And I thank God for all the brothers and sisters here who are running the same race with me.